Make sure you're subscribed to Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit that subscribe button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find Issues Etc.
If the bishops are being partisan, then we don't have to listen to them. If the bishops are being partisan, that means they're being unreasonable. But the fact is that the church didn't decide to defend human life because it's inconvenient for Democrats.
Everything we do in worship communicates theologically. So the real question then is what theology is being communicated through what's done in worship.
Instead of accepting the word of God, it is very tempting to twist the obvious meaning into something that sounds more gospel-y.
As Lutherans, we emphasize the distinction between law and gospel, but it should not be understood as it's the law versus the gospel, as in the law is bad, the gospel is good.
Lutherans living below the Mason-Dixon line love Issues Etc.
No doubt about it, what I love about the South. What I love about the South.
If you need a Dixie fix. Regardless of where you fall on the issues before the U.S. Supreme Court, I think everyone agrees that the court is treading very carefully. It's trying to tease apart the various legal aspects, the threads that make up the cord of the thorny issue of abortion and the laws that are being written in order to regulate abortion. Greetings and welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live on this Tuesday afternoon, the 2nd of November. We're going to be talking about arguments before the Supreme Court on Texas's fetal heartbeat law. Clark Forsythe, Senior Counsel for Americans United for Life, will be our guest. Then we will review the movie Dune with Pastor Ted Geese. Clark Forsythe is Senior Counsel for Americans United for Life and author of the book Abuse of Discretion, The Inside Story of Roe v. Wade. Clark, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd. Good to be back with you.
Tell us about this Texas law that was the subject of the U.S. Supreme Court session yesterday.
Well, the substance is a fetal heartbeat limit, a limit when a fetal heartbeat can be detected, which is typically around 6 weeks of pregnancy. But what's unusual about the law is that instead of the usual procedure of having state officials enforce it, the Texas law prohibits state officials from enforcing it, but kind of deputizes any citizen to go into court to enforce it. And it, not just residents of Texas, but it could be any citizen in any state, from any state in the country, as long as they do so in Texas.
How has that law fared so far in the lower courts?
There have been a number of challenges filed, both in state court and in federal court. And there are apparently 14 cases in Travis County, Texas state court that are to be decided in coming weeks. So there are a lot of challenges. And of course, there is the challenge by the United States through the Attorney General's office in federal court.
What did we hear in the justices' questions yesterday that is causing such a stir in the media?
Well, it's not about Roe versus Wade. It's not about abortion specifically. It's about jurisdiction and procedure. There are two cases that were argued yesterday before the Supreme Court. One is the United States' claim or complaint, and that question was, again, about procedure and who can sue. Normally, who can go into court and who can sue depends upon who is burdened or afflicted or affected by the law. But the questions for the United States was, why are you here? You're not affected by the law. You aren't an abortion clinic. You aren't a woman claiming to want an abortion. Why are you here? And then there was a second case by kind of the traditional plaintiffs, by abortion clinics, who are the typical plaintiffs attempting to represent women. That is the second case. The media may be hyping the case. I don't think there was particular issues that might indicate, or particular questions by the justices that might indicate anything special or make any clear indications that by the justices. I thought the justices were asking questions, holding the cards close to their vest, if you will.
The New York Times said that the questions asked by Justices Barrett and Kavanaugh represented, quote, an important shift from the 5-4 ruling in September that allowed the law to go into effect. Do you think that's accurate?
No. Again, I think the media may be hyping the case and raising expectations, putting pressure on those justices, or trying to, as though they indicated they were going to go in one direction, and if they don't go in that direction in the actual ruling, then, oh gosh, they flip-flopped or something. I think that the questions were procedural questions, jurisdictional questions, modest questions, probing questions, properly judicial questions as to whether the United States has any standing, as the lawyers call it, deserve to be in court. And then in the other case, they were asking questions about procedure and jurisdiction. I mean, for lawyers, it was a lawyer's feast. It was, a fascinating questions, fascinating case. But again, not going to the substance of abortion, not going to the substance of Roe versus Wade, or whether the court might overturn Roe versus Wade. The court indicated weeks ago that they weren't not in the Texas case going to entertain any questions about Roe versus Wade or the constitutionality of abortion. This case, the Texas case, is all about jurisdiction and procedure. The main event about Roe versus Wade and abortion is in the Mississippi case that will be argued December 1.
Why did some of the justices appear skeptical of the Biden administration's standing to challenge the Texas law?
Because the questions are, why are you here? What interest do you have? You're not a woman seeking an abortion. You're not an abortion clinic trying to represent women or trying to defend an abortion right. So why are you here? That's the main question for the United States.
What would happen if the court allowed the Biden administration or Texas abortion providers to sue?
It would allow a complaint to go forward. It would allow them to ask for an injunction rather than defer to the second case in which the plaintiffs are abortion clinics, which has been the typical kind of paradigm or framework that the court has allowed challenges for the last 48 years.
The New York Times recently reported, quote, there is little question that the ban itself is unconstitutional under the two key Supreme Court precedents, Roe v. Wade in 1973 and Planned Parenthood v. Casey in 1992. Those rulings prohibited states from barring abortions before fetal viability or about 23 weeks. How do you respond to that, Clark?
Well, if you support the Roe v. Wade decision or you believe in a right to abortion, that's correct. But I felt that in the arguments yesterday that Roe versus Wade and the so-called right to abortion was kind of hanging over everything. The justices weren't asking questions about Roe versus Wade and abortion, which is in the Mississippi case. That's going to be argued December 1st. But the questions that they asked started with an implicit assumption that there is a right to abortion, which is what is up for grabs in the Mississippi case. Because if you believe there's a right to abortion, then you're concerned about the Texas law chilling the right to abortion. But if you consider the right to abortion and Roe versus Wade up for grabs and an unsettled question in the Mississippi case, then are you really concerned that the Texas law is chilling a right to abortion? So those direct questions weren't asked, and yet they kind of hang over everything.
Solicitor General Elizabeth Preloger is quoted as saying that the Texas law was designed, quote, to thwart the supremacy of federal law in open defiance of our constitutional structure. States are free to ask this court to reconsider its constitutional precedents, but they are not free to place themselves above this court, nullifying the court's decision in their borders and block the judicial review necessary to vindicate federal rights. What is she saying, and how do you respond?
Well, she's basically right as to the intention of the law by not allowing state officials to enforce it and by deputizing citizens to to enforce it by filing suit in court. It is a novel law. It is designed to circumvent the federal courts as much as possible. But that's kind of the question in the Texas case. Can they circumvent the federal courts? And the court may say that by the legislature deputizing citizens to go into court, they are trying to circumvent, but they can't circumvent the federal courts. If you assume Roe versus Wade is good law, if you assume there's a right to abortion. So, again, it's a very unusual case, and the justices were kind of grappling with what to do with the Texas case in light of the pending Mississippi case. I don't think that the justices kind of clearly indicated what they're going to do, and it will be interesting to see whether the justices move fast in the Texas case or whether they treat the Mississippi case as the main event and kind of put the Mississippi case as the locomotive in front of the rest of the train.
So finally, what do we know about the status of that Mississippi law that you have mentioned several times? And it's on the court's docket for December. How would a decision in that case affect Roe v. Wade?
Well, the court has entertained arguments from Mississippi that Roe versus Wade and Planned Parenthood versus Casey and the federal right to abortion should be overturned. Mississippi has filed strong briefs, is making a strong argument, and you're going to see those questions teed up and argued on December 1st. The court has the opportunity to overturn Roe versus Wade. I don't know whether they will. Perhaps there's a 40-60 chance the court might. Or the court could use this as kind of the one in a series of a couple cases. But we'll see this, I think we'll see a decision in the Mississippi case by May or June next year. And I think the question is whether the Texas case is decided quickly or whether they put it on a slow track and put it off until next May or June also.
Would a quick decision indicate anything to you about what they plan to do in Mississippi?
Not necessarily, because, again, the Texas case is about procedure and jurisdiction. Do the federal courts have jurisdiction to entertain cases, or should the judges defer to the state courts and the many cases in the state courts and wait for the state courts to decide? Do the federal courts have any jurisdiction to intervene in these cases? Again, the substantive questions about abortion and Roe versus Wade are in the Mississippi case, not in the Texas case.
Clark Forsythe is Senior Counsel for Americans United for Life and author of the book Abuse of Discretion, The Inside Story of Roe v. Wade. You can purchase this book and find out more about Americans United for Life at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Talk On Demand Archives. Clark, thank you very much.
Thanks, Todd.
When we come back, we're going to be looking at a movie that a lot of people have been waiting for. They got a crack at it in the 80s. And the movie was kind of campy. Then someone came along, and at least according to many of the reviews, did the book Dune right on film. Pastor Ted Geese will be our guest.
You can call it what you like. I call it life.
Thanks to our beloved on-demand listeners, Issues Etc. consistently ranks among the top podcasts in religion and spirituality. You can help us climb the charts by subscribing, rating, and reviewing Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit the subscription button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for podcast listeners to find Issues Etc. Help us cast Christ's net on the internet. Subscribe, rate, and review Issues Etc. today.
Did you know that many LCMS military personnel and their families are unable to receive Word and Sacrament ministry due to the lack of LCMS chaplains? Ministry to the Armed Forces is looking for pastors who will answer the call to serve as a chaplain to provide Word and Sacrament ministry to the men and women who selflessly serve our nation. Find out more about this exciting ministry by contacting me, Chaplain Craig Mueller, at lcmschaps@lcms.org. That is lcmschaps@lcms.org.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues Etc. Not everyone is comfortable with new technology. Dial A Podcast gives all generations of your congregation an easy way to hear your sermons, or even devotionals and Bible studies. Once you've completed a simple one-time setup, we take care of the rest. All your congregants have to do is dial the number from any phone to listen to your latest podcast, all at no additional cost to them. Dial A Podcast. Extend the reach of your sermons. Get started at dialapodcast.com now.
Looking for a foreign language program that will revolutionize your students' vocabulary knowledge and their understanding of grammar? How about a program that teaches critical thinking skills, too? Look no further than Memoria Press's Latin curriculum. Students of all ages can use these Latin study programs. Give your students the gift of Latin today. To order, visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR21. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.